Before we even kick off the podcast, I just want to remind everyone to go like, subscribe, and keep up with these weekly episodes. If you like what you hear, spread the word so more coaches can tune in for our weekly podcasts. All right, here we go. The Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by GameStrat. GameStrat is the number one sideline replay choice for the top football programs in the country. Their system is extremely reliable, easy to set up and use, and they also have the best customer service in the industry. Go to GameStrat.com to learn why more coaches keep switching to GameStrat for their sideline replay system. That's GameStrat.com. GameStrat.com. In 2020, Athletic Recruiting Education and Navigation, or ARIN, was founded with one fundamental reason in mind: to keep the high school coach as the bedrock for the student athlete as they travel through the recruiting process. With questions about when to start, do I go to junior days, what camps do I attend, we saw one major flaw in the system: who's supporting the coach? ARIN aims to provide you with the resources and information for your student athletes and their families. We keep you up to date with current trends, provide feedback on the current time frame, and engage with parents to take questions off your plate. Can you handle the recruiting process on your own? Sure, but with the demands of coaching, do you really want to? Contact ARIN today at getarin.com. That's GETARIN.com today to talk about how we can be there to help you navigate the ever-changing and tumultuous recruiting waters. The Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Sports Workbook, the premier coach's workbook. Keep all your opponent's scouting info, play draw-ups, and notes in your personalized coil-bound booklet. With over 15 preset workbooks to choose from, like the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator for in-season opponent scouting, or the popular $20 off-season clinic notebook that has 50 pages for notes and 50 pages for play draw-ups, we've got you covered to stay organized all year long. No shipping cost and fast delivery. That's sportsworkbook.com. Hi, I'm Coach Tony Schiffman, and welcome to the Hog Football Podcast, where we talk all things football and all things offensive line. Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Hog Football Podcast. Today we've got Coach Brian Thompson. Coach Thompson is currently the offensive line coach and strength coordinator at Prosper High School in Prosper, Texas. Does some great things online, does some great things with football. Excited to have him here today. Coach, how are you? How's everything going?
Oh, it's going good. Just trying to get through, get off season rolling and clinic season started and everything else, powerlifting meets and just staying busy.
Right off the top, powerlifting is obviously a pretty big deal for you guys in Texas. What's a typical powerlifting season like for you guys? Just out of curiosity, you know, how many meets do you guys do? What's practice look like? And is it pretty much just lifting for football, or are there a lot of other non-football players kind of in that with you guys?
The sport's a real short season. Basically, it used to be when I was growing up, it was kind of like it was only football players. It was an extension of your off season. Right. The sport's gotten bigger now. It basically runs from December until spring break in March is pretty much when the state meets are.
Okay.
For us, I open it to anybody. We have a guys and a girls team. We lift. I don't have an athletic period at Prosper High School, at a previous school, and some schools here in the area in the DFW area, they do have a class period for powerlifting that's an athletics class. But we come in and lift after school for about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. And then, it's the big three lifts: squat, right, bench, deadlift. And we'll usually go to a meet every other week. Or if I have enough kids, I'll take these 12 kids on this week, and then the next week I'll take another 12 kids.
Okay. So kind of, yeah, I mean, this is actually I'm in Wisconsin. This is the first school I've ever been at, believe it or not, that's had powerlifting. And so I'm seeing it from a different perspective where, I think it's, we've got some really good power lifters at our school. I don't know how important it is to the rest of the state. I think there's some pockets and some schools that are really invested. I just don't think it's as huge to the state as other states, you know, if that makes sense. But they, you know, they put in their work, they get their stuff done. So it's, you know, and it's lifting. They're working out, they're doing things they're absolutely supposed to be doing. So, you know, I can't be too upset about that.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is here. There's pockets of areas, you know, that it's really big. And then there's, you know, some of the bigger districts don't do it just, you know, because it's not a UIL sanction. Right. That's our governing body here in Texas. It's kind of almost a club level, but it has its own association. And there's pockets of school districts that do it and that don't do it. And then a lot of the small school districts, you know, will do it because that's how they get their extension of off season to get extra lifting in for their athletes.
Right. No doubt. It's, I don't know. There's lots of kids that wish we're doing it. There's lots of kids that definitely need it and the right way. And it's just, like I said, it's an interesting kind of environment watching those guys do it. And I like it. I mean, I wish I did it when I was in high school. I would have loved it, but I also, I don't know how well I would have been able to compete with some of those other kind of big name kids out there. So it's fun though. I'm a fitness guy anyways. I love lifting. So, and that's, you know, I got to get back to the start of this, because you're the first coach I've ever skipped the first question with to ask another question. So
okay.
Go backtracking a little bit. Talk to me about how the offensive line has played a role in some of the better teams that you've coached or been a part of. Just, you know, how were they, you know, how did they involve themselves in those successful teams?
This is my 21st year, and all I've ever done has been an offensive line coach. To me, the most successful teams we've had, you got to have the talented guys up front, but it's those guys just buying into outworking anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, you know, I've always kind of prided my guys, like, look, we're going to be the first guys on the field. We're going to be the guys that are always going to, you know, everybody else is standing around during special team period. If they're not on special teams, no, we're going down and we're going to get extra work on the shoot. We're going to get extra technique work. We're not going to stand around and waste that time. And those guys that buy into it, those teams where we've had guys buy into it, that no, we're just going to simply outwork anybody else. You know,
right.
Maybe this year we are exceptionally talented and I've had some good groups. Hey, maybe this year we're kind of run of the pile, but hey, we're going to steal an extra 15, 20 minutes every day during special teams or during this period, and we're going to get down and get some extra work in.
Right. Right. No, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of obviously a loaded question. I don't think I've had one negative answer about that yet, but, you know, I was just kind of like to hear other people's perspectives and kind of what, you know, what they determine through their own offensive lines. Cause every room's different. Obviously everyone's got a different mindset and different philosophy with how they coach it. So, always just kind of curious to how those things play out. Shifting gears again, going back now, we're going back and forth, going back to the fitness stuff. Last time you and I talked, you were finishing the Live Hard, right? Which was an offshoot of 75 Hard. How did you get involved starting to do that? And how did that turn out for you? You know, I've heard a ton about 75 Hard, never done it. But I've heard, tons of success stories. How did you get involved with that? And you know, how many times have you done it now?
I guess 2 years ago is when I did 75 Hard the first time.
Mm-hmm.
One of our junior high coaches had kind of mentioned it to me kind of in passing, and I started looking up on it. And then I actually got sick during Christmas break, and I was sick and just felt miserable and felt terrible. And I finally decided, you know, I gotta do something. I haven't been taking my health and my fitness seriously. And so I jumped in and not even knowing all the details on it. Well, I'm going to do it today. And so I started doing it and then realized, okay, I got to prepare. I need a day to get, you know, I need to go get a gallon of water. I didn't realize right. It was that much. I didn't realize. Okay. And so I jumped back in the next day and was able to finish it in 75 days. I'd almost gotten back up. You know, I was, when I played a Division III ball, I was never a super big guy, but I'd got, right. You know, 280 pounds. Well, I'd gotten back over 260. I'm like, I'm not lifting like I did then. I'm not exercising. I said, I need to lose some weight. And so that was my primary focus, but it also helped me, okay, to do all those tasks every day on the schedule that we run as coaches, you know, 12-hour days, 13-hour days, and then you go to a powerlifting meet and you're there till 10 o'clock at night some right. nights. I was like, I got to get more focused on how I'm living and doing right. So I did 75 hard. Then the next last January or last December 28th, I decided, you know what? I want to do it again. And so I started again, did it, wasn't planning on doing the Live Hard program. You know, got through my 75 days, was like, I'm good. And I went, you know what? I want to do this again. I want to hit 30 days. And so I did it in the summer. I did it in June, right before we went on vacation. You know, I timed it like, we're going to go on vacation. I want to do it, kind of get myself back going again, get myself, check my discipline, make sure I'm taking care of myself. Did phase one. Then you take the 30-day break. I did phase two in August. So right when football season started up here in Texas, I'm like, well, and, you know, I told my wife, I promised her, I said, I will not start anything after 10:30 at night.
Right.
It's unless it's a game day. That's the only thing I told her I may have to do. So we meet at 5:45 in the morning. So in order for me to do that, it's like, all right, you're going to have to get up at, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning and go get your outside workout in and go get a ruck with a weighted vest. And so I did that every morning for the 30 days during phase two. And then I just kept it going through football season. I got into phase three in December, and unfortunately I got a massive sinus infection. Like, I was dizzy, couldn't stand on my feet. And I just had to quit in phase three, and I was kind of upset with myself about it, but I was down for about 2 days and just, so I couldn't get up and get moving, but I'm going to go back and do it again one of these days. But I told her I wouldn't do it this January, two Januaries in a row of doing it. She's like, not, please don't do it this year.
See, every time I try to start doing things like that, cause I'm a little bit like you, you know, I was an offensive lineman. I was a much smaller offensive lineman. I was never 280 or anything, but you know, with COVID and all that stuff, kind of the weights fluctuate a little bit. So I need to get going. Every time I really get going and hit like week two where I'm starting to get a groove, I get sick or I get an injury or I get something that just kind of knocks me on my butt for like 3 or 4 days. I can't find that. And I, you know, we're not getting any younger, obviously, you know, it's that. And now I've got fatherhood on top of it. So it's tough to kind of find that consistent piece. I've looked at 75 hard. I've done the research on it. It's a doable task. I gotta figure out, like you were just saying, the kind of like the right time frame to do it.
Yeah. Like I said, the first time I did it, I was sore and tired, and there was like, okay, I got to walk in, you know, I got to walk in. That's all I get outside today. And you know, I'm not even going to put my pack on because my shoulders are killing me, but I'm going to get out and walk, and I'm going to do a yoga session. Like, that was my indoor workout, is I'm going to sit and do a yoga. This last time I did 75 hard, we had a hard freeze, and I kind of stepped off the curb and slipped, and my knee the next day was swollen up, and I'm like, I ain't stopping. I'm on day 40 right now. I'm not stopping. I don't have to start this over. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to limp today. Just 45 minutes of limping, because I was just like, I said I was going to do this. I want to have it done by this date. So, I did half of what I normally walk. Normally in 45 minutes, I can get about 3.5 miles in with my pack. I think I got about 1.5 in that day because I was just limping and dragging my leg. But I was too far into it to go back.
Right. No, that's good. I mean, that's, again, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the whole challenge itself sort of prides itself on that discipline piece, right? About being able to do it and persevere and push through. So for you to be able to do that, man, that's tough. I get a scale, you know, out of 1 to 10, I get like a 2 knee pain and I'm done for like a week. So I you know, more power to you, man. That's good. Good on you. You know, you're at Prosper High School, like you said, and you know, kind of the information you sent me, about 3,500 kids. How does that, you know, talk to me a little bit just about, you know, obviously Texas football is above and beyond as far as a state high school football, things like that. Talk to me about Texas football with an enrollment of 3,500 kids. I mean, what do you guys have total in your program, top to bottom? I mean, are there some kids, you know, you're a coach, you've coached for a long time. You always hear the old adage, well, athletes are in the hallways. You know, we just got to recruit the hallways. How does that work with 3,500 kids? You know what, talk to me through kind of some of those numbers and issues you guys have had.
So with 3,500 kids, I think we run roughly 250 to 270 football players every year, 9 through 12.
Okay.
Our high school, our school district, when I got here 7 years ago, we were a one high school district, and Prosper is kind of in the North Metroplex area, just above Frisco. Mm-hmm. And they're building houses anywhere they can find green grass. Right. We've been in our house nearly 3 years now, and there used to be a giant field behind us. Well, now I got nothing but machinery, and they're putting roads, building houses. They're putting right. houses behind anywhere they can find green grass. And so we had, one high school town. Well, then we were a two high school town. They just opened a third high school this year. In 2 years, they're opening high school number four.
Wow.
And so we've constantly got people moving in. And so, we recruit the hallways. We've got 17 football coaches. Now most of us coach at least another sport also.
Right.
And so, if you're we're spread out throughout the hallway, and we see these guys walking down the hall. Hey, who are you? Where did you come from? Have you been here the whole time? Or we get move-ins from anywhere in the Metroplex area or even out of state. I know one of my athletes that's a senior this year, he moved in his sophomore year from California. The same week, we had another one move in from Tennessee.
Right.
Just because they're moving to this north, the North Metroplex area. And so this was the first year with the third high school opening now. This was the first year in 3 years that we haven't played seven football teams. We'll always have three freshman teams.
Yep.
And then for 3 years, we had three JV teams and then a varsity team. And so, this year we didn't have that third JV team just because our numbers were down a little bit, and not so much the overall numbers. Really, it's the number of offensive linemen that, we can find plenty of skill guys and guys that we can get out there to go run and play, but to have enough guys to play on the offensive line, you got to have more of them than anybody else. And so, hey, we got a team. We got seven offensive linemen. That's all we got. And then this team's got five, and that's all we got on our two JVs.
Right. So, and that's crazy to think that you got 3,500 kids and still are having those strengths, and it's not a knock on the school, not a knock on you as coaches or anything, but you're still having those same struggles that, we're having at schools of 800 and schools of 1200.
Exactly.
Everyone always, I think that's an excuse coaches always make, like, oh, well, if we had more enrollment, if we had more numbers, well, hey, you're talking to a guy who's got the numbers and they got the same issues. So it's not that. I think it's a cultural thing. It's a worldwide thing, a nationwide thing where those numbers are dwindling, unfortunately. And so, it's frustrating that you guys are having that, but it's everywhere, right?
Absolutely. And, in most of the years, even when we had, three freshman team, because you're always going to have 120, 130 kids come out. You can find enough offensive linemen to put, eight or nine on a team. Plus, you still got to put your defensive linemen out there, because most of our kids, other than on the freshman level, they don't play both ways.
Right.
So by the time they're on a JV, they're only an offensive lineman. You may only have 13 JV offensive linemen.
Right.
Well, that's only enough for two teams.
Right.
Because then you've still got to hire – you're still carrying, 7 to 8 on your varsity O-line.
Right.
And so now all of a sudden you're looking, okay, well, you got 28 guys. Well, yeah, but those are eight or – varsity linemen, or those nine are varsity linemen because they're seniors. And then now I got to figure out how to piece together the rest of them. We try to find a way, and we've taken defensive linemen and go, hey, I know you're a defensive lineman. We need you to also play half the game on offensive line with another defensive lineman.
Right.
Because if you don't go do it, now all we got is one team, and you're only going to play half the time anyway now, because everybody's going to share reps on our sub varsity teams. Or we need you to play 20 snaps at offensive line, and the other defensive lineman's going to play 20 snaps at offensive line. And now y'all get to play the whole game, which is the only way you get better at playing football. It's a lot more fun to do that than to stand on the sideline with 80 kids on the JV and you don't get to play as much.
Yeah. No, yeah. You want to, and that's the whole purpose of freshman JV football too is development piece. You know, let's get those guys ready for varsity anyway. So now how much involvement do you have with those lower? I mean, obviously you're probably not coaching all those freshman JV kids, but are you kind of involved with, it's the same football. I'm assuming it's the same drill, same offense, same defense, all of that's the same. How much involvement are you getting with those kids, that aren't strictly varsity?
Our varsity and JVs practice together. So Every offensive lineman is down there with me. Like I said, on our entire staff, we have 16 coaches, I think, now. There's been a few years where we've had more, had one more or something, but I believe we have 16 coaches. We have a freshman offensive line coach and he's awesome. We also have a tight end coach. And so the three of us can be down there with the tight ends and the offensive linemen. And we've got, three sets of eyeballs. Until this last year, our head coach was also an offensive line coach by trade. And so now all of a sudden we've got four guys down there that are all offensive line guys. But I've worked with mainly the varsity guys, the JV guys, and then during the freshman period, one day a week I go out with them because that's an offensive-only day. That's all they do, and I help out. One day's a defensive-only day. And then usually the third day, depending on what they need, hey, we're doing this drill. We need you to come out and help the offensive line for these 20, 30 minutes of the period. Cool, no problem. But as far as the varsity and the JV, they're going to be with me and the freshman O-line coach, who's my assistant coach, and he's awesome. I've had a couple different ones here in 7 years, and they've both been awesome, hardworking guys to have. And I'm like, all right, you take the varsity right side and the JV right side guys and go do this, and I'm going to take the left side and I'm going to go do this.
Right.
So that makes it a little bit easier to manage.
Yeah. Yeah, and then again, you're getting – You're involved with their development. You're involved with their, so that way that when they get to you, it's not, it's not like speaking a foreign language. They know what's being taught, and that's always important too. You don't want to. I've seen plenty of schools and plenty of coaches that, hey, varsity's they run this offense, but the freshmen are running this offense. Well, why? That's detrimental to your program. That's not going to help develop those kids. Let's get them on the same page. So. That's awesome that you're able to kind of get with them a little bit, plus still have the support and the help to get them coached up on their own.
Yeah, and our school district does a great job with the, now that we've got three different high schools now, each high school has one or maybe two middle school feeder programs.
Yep.
And those middle school coaches run what the high school coaches want them to run. They're going to run a simplified version of the high school offense and the high school defense. So when those eighth graders come up to high school, they're going to hear our terminology, our play formations, our, the steps and the footwork even the drills that we do, those eighth graders have heard. And so it's not completely foreign to them. So that helps us out tremendously to have the success we've had, because by the time a kid comes in from seventh grade, he's going to hear, hey, when we're running inside zone, it's this, this, and this.
Right.
When we're running wide zone, it's this step, and this aim point.
Right.
And so it helps them develop at a faster rate where, some districts don't have that alignment.
Right. No, no doubt. I mean, that's awesome. That's huge. And again, like, it's just great to get them ready and get them prepared, because you never know when their time's going to come either, right? They could be – they could be jumping up earlier than others, and you want them to be ready to go. So
absolutely.
That's cool. I'm looking through your Twitter page actually right now. And I'm looking, one of the things that kind of jumped out was this. Now last year was the first one, the DFW offensive line coach clinic. First question is, are you guys doing another one this year? And then second question, how'd that get started? Tell me how you got that going and kind of what made you want to start that.
Being here in the Metroplex, and I'm sure most offensive line coaches know who Duke Mannyweather is. He's hosted the O-line Masterminds, and it's 15 minutes down the road from where I'm at. And I've seen the clips on it all the time and everything. And I'm like, that's awesome. That the NFL guys go and do that and they get to do it. And it got me thinking when I started coaching And I was south of the DFW area. I remembered I went to a couple, there was a school district and a coach that put on an offense and defensive line one.
Right.
And I was like, I went to that for 2 or 3 years when he had it, and then he moved on and nobody kept it going. And so I'm sitting here talking with my assistant offensive line coach, and I'm like, you know, that's so cool. We were watching a clip of Duke and those guys talk at the masterminds. I'm like, man, there needs to be somebody doing this for high school offensive line coaches. Nobody does anything like this for high school offensive line coaches. You know, the NFL guys got this, and college guys, you know, they jump around so much and trade everything, but but high school guys, we don't have it. And I went, let's do it. Like, I'll talk. I said, we've got enough guys in the DFW area that, you know, I can call this guy and this guy and this guy. I mean, right up the road from us is a small town, Gunner, Texas, that's been they've won, I think, 3 state championships in the last 5 years. Solana, who's had 8 or 9 state champions in the history of theirs, has, you know, always been successful. And the district that we play in has massively successful programs. And I'm like, I'm just going to start reaching out to guys and go, hey, let's just do a Saturday offensive line thing. Y'all, you know, everybody pay $40. I'll get us all a t-shirt. I'll get breakfast and lunch for us. And, you know, just come in and speak, like, show us what you do drill wise, talk to us about how you run your offense, and let's just swap some ideas. And, you know, it just kind of started growing, and I was able to get some of those guys to come in, and they were interested in coming and talking. And we just sat around in we've got a team meeting room, and I think I had about 40 coaches show up, including some of the peewee coaches in the area found out about it. And they were like, do you care if we come? I'm like, come on, come on. And so we had those guys talk. And then I was able to get Clint Anderson, who does O-line performance.
Yep.
I've known Clint since I've been in the DFW. He works with a lot of my high school guys. That's, you know, what he does is an offensive line trainer. I've picked his brain multiple times over the years. And I was like, hey, do you want to come and talk and kind of set your stuff up and show these guys some of the stuff you do? And he was gung-ho about it. And, you know, I was just like, nobody's doing something like this. And I've got the resources and the facility that I can use, and let's do it and see what happens. We had a good turnout, and I'm working on getting this year's going right now. Good. I've got the date nailed down, and I'm already started emailing a couple of coaches trying to say, hey, you want to come speak, and what do you want to talk about?
Right. No, that's awesome. I mean, that's coming from me, a guy who did the same thing a couple of years ago at the Hog Football Chat Clinic. Like, getting it off the ground is the toughest part. Year one's the toughest part. Year two and year three for us were phenomenal. I mean, I remember year three, I think year one, kind of like you, we had like 40 coaches, 40, 45 coaches. Year two was about the same. And then year three, we blew up and we were over 200 coaches. And then unfortunately COVID happened and it shut everything down. But, you know, I love those types of small clinic settings where it's not, you know, there's no pressure. Guys can just come in and talk football, you know, to quote the young kids, they can chop it up. And it's just a phenomenal experience for any coaches wanting to learn something, you know, something different that they might not have in their tool belt already. So, for you guys to continue to do that and keep that thing going, that's great. And the location you're in, that thing's only going to get bigger and better. And that's awesome. So, you know, I wish best of luck for you in that endeavor anyway. So,
absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Coach, last question I got for you before I get you out of here. Do me a favor. If you could make a Mount Rushmore of offensive linemen you've coached, guys you played with, or guys you're just a fan of, who would be on that 5-man offensive line Mount Rushmore?
Oh, wow. Okay, man. Okay. The first one, and I'll just do the guys that I've coached.
Sure.
You know, I'll just do it that way. I mean, I've got a ton of guys that I've worked with that have been mentors to me that I've reached out to. And, you know, when I put that clinic on, I had a couple of them reach back out to me and tell me they were glad I was doing something like that. But just to keep it with the guys I've coached, the first one is going to be Jake Majors. He's an offensive lineman. I coached here at Prosper. He's playing at the University of Texas now. He's been their starting center since the end of his freshman year. He would obviously be on there first. Second, I had an offensive lineman that I coached when I was at Red Oak, Texas, down south of the DFW area, mm-hmm. Down by Waxahachie. His name was Joffrey Wallace. This young man, this was my first time to be a varsity O-line coach, was with him. And we were in a run-based offense, and he was first-team all-district, unanimous pick. And then the next year we went to more of a spread and a passing game, and he was, again, first-team offensive lineman all-district. And if he hadn't been, 6 foot tall, he probably would have had a lot more opportunities, but right. He was 6 foot tall and 260 pounds and just an absolute ball player. So those two guys jump out immediately to me. After that, I would probably, I'm probably going to say one of the young men that's just enrolled at the University of North Texas for me, Tyler Mercer. I've got to coach him the last 2 years here in Prosper. He's definitely going to be up there because of the way he is. Now I'm really having to think. I've got so many to try to, I don't want to omit anybody. I'm running through all my names in my head right now. Let me think. One of the toughest young men that I've ever, ever coached, and he was a 1 year starter for me. And this is what we're talking about with our JV kids. As a sophomore, he was on our JVB team in Red Oak. As a junior, he had to come up and be a varsity backup. And I think he played 7 snaps all year.
Yeah.
And then as a senior, he just kind of kept developing. He became a first team all district left tackle for us at Red Oak. And that's Trent Haynes. And then the last one, man, I'm going to say probably the strongest young man I've got to coach, that Carson Schaefer, who played for us here at Prosper. He might have to share that a little bit with a couple other guys, some Nash Gagliano, who played for me here at Prosper. Now his name's slipping my mind. Kyle Peterson, who played for me at Princeton, mm-hmm. Those guys are just all tough nose, hard working guys.
Yeah. No, you got to love those. I mean, that's all you can ask for with offensive line guys, right? You want the kids that are going to work their butts off. They might have a flaw here or there. Like you said, you're one kid might be 6 foot tall. One kid might be, 225 and lanky, but they've all got that piece and that kind of thing you're looking for. And that's what we all want and we all strive to get from those guys. So that's awesome. Well, Coach, do me a favor. Before I let you go, drop your Twitter handle for everybody and then let them know where they can find you if they want any other information about anything.
I'm on Twitter. It's Coach Steamroll. That's one of that's kind of our mantra in our offensive line room is we call ourselves the steamrollers, and you're either, part of the machine or you're part of the pavement.
Yep.
And so that's, we've got some shirts made and everything the last couple of years for us. That's the easiest way to find me is just Coach Steamroll on Twitter. I'm going to be putting the information up there about the DFW, North DFW O-Line Coaches Clinic. Next week, I'm actually going to be speaking at the big DFW clinic for the first time ever. They're doing an offensive line roundtable kind of nice. Friday night. And so I've gotten asked to talk at that. So that's the easiest place to find me and where I try to put most of my stuff out.
Cool. Very good. Well, hopefully, best of luck with the clinic. You're speaking at one and then your own actual clinic. And, obviously best of luck as you guys get to the off season, get heavy into the off season and get going closer to the season. So appreciate you coming on, man. Looking forward to talking football with you sometime soon again. And, good luck with all those endeavors you got.
Awesome. Thank you, Coach. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. Bye.